It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as the most recent podcasts, the most recent op-eds, and then those go over to the website. Everything's there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I know I'm always doing this disclaimer. I'm a little behind on emails, but I'll be back to you. Hopefully I'll get that caught up this weekend. It's just been kind of hair on fire busy over here, Steve.
Well, with the temperatures being what they're going to be in the next 48 hours or so, what a great thing to do is to stay at home and catch up on email.
Can you say, what about that global warming? How's that working out?
you live dangerously.
They are using a global warming to destroy our economy. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Brian Dmitrovic in the third and fourth segment. You know him. He is an economic historian. He has written several books, Econoclast, which is probably going to be one. He said that he's a kind of cyclical, that actually... that when the Democrats are in power with this regime that's in power now and what they're doing to try to destroy the lives of everyday hardworking Americans, that actually his book sales go up.
Are you going to be talking Great Reset with Brian?
Yes.
All right.
Because I wanted to ask him, I had him on recently, and the feeling I got from him was just that socialism doesn't work. And it's a really bad idea. But my concern is all the people that get hurt on this road to utopian socialism, it's not good for everyday hardworking people, Steve.
Well, okay, we go down this road, and this is a worldwide effort, if I'm reading this correctly.
It is. It's coming out of the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, they're hiding behind two things, global warming and the COVID virus, to try and... mask, I guess, if that's the right word, no pun intended, what they're actually up to. But I can't help thinking that we go down this road for 10 years or whatever, then we have to have another reset.
And these resets are not good for everyday people. And in fact, let's see here, Patty had found this. The Biden administration is all over this. This is from American Great. And you know what? We'll come back to this. I need to do the things that I had planned in my mind instead of getting off track here, but we'll talk about that here in just a moment. We'll talk with Hal Van Herkey in the first segment as well. You know him. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, a great partner of the show. And small business is really where his heart is, and so I want to know what's going on with that. But let's go ahead. First of all, thank you to all of you for joining. It is Friday, and I wish you a great weekend. All of us will be able to catch up on things because of global warming. I think that it's going to be in the negatives. And so, again, we have to question why are they using this narrative when it's going to be minus whatever? What is it, minus four or something this weekend? And working to, and it's about power, but it's destroying the economy as well. But I appreciate each of you joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Live with intention and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And to this team, I love working with this team. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. We've got a great show planned for everyone this Sunday afternoon, Steve, on America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, which is 3 to 4 p.m. World War II veteran. It's Melvin Hurwitz, right? Okay. And he flew four combat missions. He was a radio man and a gunner on a B-17. And he got in near the end of the war. He flew four combat missions, two chow missions. And the chow missions were actually where they were dropping food to people in Western Europe who had been starving. And then two missions where they repatriated prisoners of war. So fascinating conversation, Steve.
That the food thing. That wasn't the Berlin airlift, was it?
No,
just something probably before.
I think to Belgium and the Netherlands.
Before they
France.
Got that organized.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because people were starving. So you won't want to miss that. Let's see. Let's do our quote now. Our quote for today is from C.S. Lewis. You know him. He was a British writer and a lay theologian. And I typically just get all this stuff off of Wikipedia. He held academic positions in English literature at both Oxford University and Cambridge University. He's best known for his works of fiction, especially The Screwtape Letters, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Space Trilogy, and his nonfiction Christian apologetics, such as Mere Christianity, Miracles, and The Problem of Pain. And when you hear Christian apologetics, the word apologetics means making a defense of that. And this is what he said, Steve. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. And he was born, let's see, in 1898. He died in 1963.
You know, you hear this guy, all his works people have been reading over the years, C.S. Lewis. And I always wondered what C.S. is. And now when I see what C.S. stands for, I think I understand why he goes by C.S.
And his name was Clive Staples Lewis, so that's why he goes by C.S. Lewis.
You know, thank you to his parents, I guess.
Guess so. A great quote at the end of the show as well. Okay, as we look at all of these things, we have to put our thinking caps on, and we ask the questions that Rudyard Kipling recommends that we ask, and those are what and why and when and how and where and who. And I did watch the initial part of the impeachment proceedings. The Democrats have gone through 16 hours of, I think it's a very great made-for-TV drama, if you will, just really trying to whip people up. And I would recommend that everyone either go watch the video of President Trump's speech or read it or do both. To understand exactly what the speech said, first of all. Second of all, when I was watching the first day and they did the photo montage of the Capitol being breached, please note that there was a picture down in the right-hand corner of somebody with a gas mask on, which I'm surprised they put that in there. And then also in the video, I saw somebody go by with a gas mask on. Never, ever, ever have we seen people arrive at Trump rallies that are Trump supporters with gas masks. So let's ask, what was going on there? Who's behind all that? Let's put our thinking caps on regarding all of this, Steve.
Well, watching it unfold on, I assume that it was live television. There certainly couldn't have been much delay to it. Sitting in an office across town in a conference room and watching CNBC, you know, the business channel. They basically abandoned what they were doing because they realized something, you know, big was about to happen, or they knew something big was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the very first thought you had when you saw those large or those wide shots of the Capitol building on the east side, why are so many people dressed in black?
Right.
Because it wasn't that way at the other end of the mall.
Right.
Closer to the White House.
Right. And I would also recommend, I think it's December 31st, go to the Epoch Times, put in DuckDuckGo, use that as your search engine, and put in Josh Phillip, the Epoch Times, and he has his video, Crossroads. And I think it was, I want to say it was December 31st, and we talked about it on Monday when he was on the show. But this Japanese journalist, a small little Japanese woman who is a hard-hitting journalist, and she went through some of the different video segments of that and brings up something very, very interesting. And I would highly recommend that you check that out as well. One other thing, we had a lot of people that reached out, really appreciated Holly Kaysen's interview yesterday. She's the co-founder of the U.S. Election Integrity Project. And some of you asked for that website, and it is useip.us. That's useip.us. there's more information there. Helen Jean Mitchell reached out to me and said, Kim, you need to make a distinction. When Dominion came in to Colorado in 2013, there were two counties that did not adopt the Dominion voting machine system. And Merlin Clotz down in Douglas County was one of them. And I remember, excuse me, sorry about that. I remember that he actually sued the Republican Secretary of State at that time because apparently the Secretary of State was really encouraging every state or every county to use Dominion. And I had a conversation with Merlin about this, and Merlin said that we felt, as we looked at all the different machines, that it was not the best. And so he sued so that Douglas County would not have to use the Dominion voting machines. And Helen mentioned I should make that distinction, so I wanted to do that for sure. But the Dominion came in 2013, as well as mail-in voting here in Colorado. And that occurred when Scott Gessler was Secretary of State. And then my understanding is that Dominion was really implemented when Wayne Williams was Secretary of State. And I'm going to invite both of those guys on because I want to talk with them about Dominion as well as this mail-in voting, which I think the legislature passed that, and so they had to certainly do that. But I'm going to extend an invitation to them because I'm super concerned about how 62 of the 64 counties in Colorado actually had adopted the Dominion voting systems. And so I will extend that invitation to them. And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is a great partner of the show, and they have 5 locations: Aurora, Westminster, Lone Tree, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have all kinds of specials. They have to-go specials, as we always talk about. Wednesday is Wings Day for to-go and dine-in. You buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. I love the Texas barbecue smoked wings. They are delicious. But for all the information about all the specials, their lunch, the kids, all of that, you can go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And just go to the sponsor tab, click on Hooters, and then all of that information will come up. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with some headlines in the next segment, and then we'll talk with Dr. Brian Dimitrovic in segments 3 and 4.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. First headline that I'm going to go to is this is from the New York Post, and it says that Governor Cuomo, his aide admits that they hid nursing home data so that the feds wouldn't find out. It says Governor Cuomo's top aide privately apologized to Democrat lawmakers for withholding the state's nursing home death toll from COVID-19, telling them, "We froze out of fear the true numbers would be used against us by federal prosecutors," the Post has learned. The stunning admission of a cover-up was made by Secretary to the Governor Melissa DeRosa during a video conference call with state Democrat leaders, in which she said the Cuomo administration had rebuffed a legislative request for the tally in August because right around the same time, then-President Donald Trump turns this into a giant political football, according to an audio recording of the two-hour-plus meeting. Wasn't Governor Cuomo on every day giving a video report, it seemed like every day, Steve, about the dire, COVID, but yet they put COVID positive patients, people back into nursing homes, which created really probably a big portion of the deaths. But yet he used that number to close down Manhattan. I hear that Manhattan is just, it used to be such a vibrant, wonderful place. And between him and de Blasio, they are destroying that city. As you're seeing this across our country, these beautiful cities, American cities, San Francisco, Denver. I was downtown recently, or just drove through downtown. It's like a ghost town. They are destroying these cities, Steve. It's unbelievable.
You know, so many movies, not necessarily, you know, chick flicks, and I shouldn't go there, will use a background like New York City and Manhattan. The camera's just raised up at overhead level of all the sea of people walking the streets of Manhattan. And I had, you know, a personal experience having to drive around Madison Square Garden and trying to turn right at every corner with a sea of people. I mean, it's just nuts. But now it's radically different, totally different. And again, we were all scratching our heads when that was going down. What was the methodology? What was the plan for taking COVID-positive people and putting them in nursing homes?
It's cruel. It's absolutely cruel.
And that guy, watching him day in and day out with his pompous, arrogant attitude, and he just didn't seem to care.
And now there is a cover-up. And now there is a cover-up on this.
Well, you'd love to see him take a great fall, but it never seems to happen.
Well, we got to continue to search for truth, and people, we need to show up at the ballot box, although we did show up at the ballot box, and that is why we have very questionable results in some of these states. And as we talked with Holly, there's things that we need to work on. We need to get rid of mail-in voting. And that does not mean that we go to electronic. That means that we get rid of mail-in voting. People can certainly get absentee ballots, but you have to make some effort to get your ballot instead of something just arriving in the mail. And certainly we've got to get rid of Dominion. And we really need to do a lot of work on election integrity. And so, again, Holly's website is useip.us. You can get more information there. Another thing, Steve, I saw this as well. This is from CBS4.
Speaking of truth.
Yeah, speaking of truth, this is, the headline is, we all need to be a little distrustful. Colorado schools could soon teach kids how to differentiate between fake news and credible media. It says the internet has expanded kids' access to information. Now, two state lawmakers here in Denver, in Colorado, want to help them identify misinformation and disinformation. From Facebook and Twitter to blogs and apps, the information landscape is vast. And State Representative Barbara McLaughlin says facts can vary widely. Whenever somebody starts off a sentence with, I read somewhere that this happened, you think, wait a minute, I think we all need to be a little distrustful about where people are getting their information. She's a school teacher turned state lawmaker, and she says kids who consume news almost exclusively online are especially vulnerable. A study by Stanford University found 82% of middle school students can't tell the difference between an online ad and a news story. Well, I would say that's not just middle school children, Steve. I think you could say that there's a lot of people out there in America that don't understand that.
Well, McLaughlin is teaming up with State Representative Lisa Cutler to, you know, push this forward. And, you know, at its surface, it almost sounds like, okay, this, you know, sounds like a
critical thinking. That would,
you know,
be good.
Something that needs to be done. But how are you going to do this?
Yeah, it creates an online bank of media literacy resources in the Colorado Department of Education to help teachers incorporate media literacy in everyday curriculum. I can see big danger here. This is censorship. I think clothed in sheep's clothing. Is that what you say?
Well, I did a little reading recently on Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi.
Goebbels.
Mm-hmm. Propaganda minister was his title, and his methodologies and what they were doing to the German people in the 30s. I mean, carefully putting just the right news stories out there, you know, making it public. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know of a rather famous person who seemed to have coined the phrase fake news. And he would provide examples and show why it was fake. And, you know, the left adopted these principles of, you know, Nazi Germany in terms of what they're doing. They're creating all these false narratives, and unfortunately it works.
Well, that is why we need to continue to keep these independent voices on the air like mine. But all of this talk radio is so important. I want to go to the very last sentence here. This is a teacher, okay? Or no, this isn't. This is Lisa Cutter, but she is a representative here in Colorado. She said, there are outside entities that are trying to sow distrust in public health in vaccines. They've traced some of that to China, Russia with election meddling. So I absolutely firmly believe this will lead to a healthier democracy and society, she said. First of all, maybe she needs to take a civics class, because America is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And my friends, every time you hear somebody say that we are a democracy, you need to push back on that and explain we are a constitutional republic. The other thing you can see here is that regarding the forced vaccinations, I saw, I think, one of the headlines, I think it's near the back here, that I think it's Facebook. Patty may text me on that. I think it's Facebook is not going to allow any post that says that vaccines may possibly lead to autism. It's like, my friends, how about we have all the information out there and then you make informed consent on this information and do your research. Don't just be taking things in as total truth. Do your own research. And another example that we need to talk about is facts. Actually, the truth is the facts within context. And people use the term facts, and remember that sometimes they can massage those facts to get to the conclusion that they want, Steve.
Well, facts will inevitably stir emotions and feelings, and that ends up kind of being the thing that wins out. We push the fact aside if it, you know, it just doesn't make us feel good. So we'll end up going the other direction in our opinion on something and not do the fundamental basic research that says this is a fact, and it's not disputable. It's not subjective. It's objective. And there's the hook right there.
That's an excellent point, Steve.
We cannot separate objectivism with subjectivism, and it's hurting us.
Right. And that is part of what critical thinking is about. Again, objective, subjective, great point on that. And the truth is the facts with context. Another headline I wanted to mention, and this is from USA Today. It says about 40% of the nation's coronavirus deaths could have been prevented in the United States. The average death rate matched other industrialized nations, a new Lancet Commission report has found. And to that point, I know two people that, or two people pretty close to me, that both got COVID, and both of them were denied any treatment. And President Trump said hydroxychloroquine works, and the media said it didn't. And in fact, I had talked to another friend of mine, and back in September, she was trying to get hydroxychloroquine, and her doctor prescribed it, and the pharmacy would not fill the prescription. So here we have treatments for this thing. And one of my friends, and actually one person died, and the other person recovered. And my friend that recovered has some immuno issues. And let's think about this, that we could have prevented a whole bunch of deaths. And USA Today says roughly 40% of USA coronavirus deaths could have been prevented. This has really been politicized. And it's been politicized, I think, to scare people so that these health departments then could come in and swoop in and shut down our businesses and really affect our economy. And so we continue have to talk about these issues. Jason McBride, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, Kim, just about everything you said is very frustrating, that they're able to just put out all this information that's not true and make decisions for pretty much all Americans based on information that's not true, and I feel Steve's pain when he I can tell if it's frustrating that they get away with it and nothing ever seems to happen to any of them.
Well, we're going to continue to shed light on this, Jason McBride, because this thing in New York with Cuomo's aide admitting that they were hiding their nursing home data is absolutely astonishing. But Jason McBride, you are a senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. And what happened to the market? It's been very ho-hum this whole week. What happened yesterday?
Yeah, again, pretty quiet yesterday. The Dow was down a massive 7 points. The NASDAQ was up a little bit, like 53, which is still, you know, not much of a move compared to what we've been seeing. But yeah, it's been a fairly quiet week for most of the indexes. Maybe they're just taking a little rest here, getting a little bit tired, or maybe people are, I don't know, getting ready for Valentine's Day, Kim, and they're just too busy.
Maybe that's what it is. Possibly for Valentine's Day, people should give themselves a gift, and that is, it's no cost to sit down with you and do a discovery session.
Oh, how romantic. This is really going to drive people into my office.
That's what I thought. How can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Easy way to give us a call. Give us a call at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. And I guess we can talk about Bitcoin on Monday.
Oh, I forgot. No. Let's do that. I forgot to put that on the headline. Or, wait, I think I did. Tesla buys $1.5 billion in Bitcoin and plans to start accepting it as payment. And I forgot to mention that to you, Jason.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's interesting. You know, it just adds more validity to the fact that Bitcoin's, it's the real deal and people are using it. I mean, the price on the day that was announced went up about 20% from 38,000 per Bitcoin up to about 46,000. And that, that currency has made a big move. Recently, I mean, it was trading down during the throes of the COVID sell-off. It got down as low as around, 4,000, moved up a little bit and was trading between 8 and 10. But I'll tell you, Kim, since October, I mean, it's gone from, 8 to 10,000 all the way up to 48,000. So very, very volatile.
It is very volatile. But and I'll talk with Brian Dmitrovic about this as well, because he's talked a bit about alternative currencies. Mm-hmm. And so Tesla doing this. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe. Do you know how people buy Bitcoin? I know I should have done some research on that, but I don't know how that's done.
I have never actually bought any of the actual currency. I know there's I don't know what they even call them, if they're online vaults, but they're systems where you can buy it online. As far as if you just want to kind of invest in it and trade the price, there is an exchange-traded fund that trades on the pink sheets, Kim, that's ticker symbol GBTC, that kind of tracks the price of Bitcoin. So for people that just want to, invest and try to make money on the price swings, that's the way most people are doing it. And I'm not recommending, anybody goes out and buys or sells or does anything with that thing, because it's, crazy. But that's the way that I have traded it a few times.
Okay, yeah, it is super volatile. Okay, I would recommend people reach out to you and do a discovery session on all of this. What's your phone number?
No problem, Kim. Give us a call at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
And happy Valentine's Day to you, Jason McBride. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, Kim. Have a great one.
And you bet. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Brian Dmitrovic, economic historian, regarding this great reset that the World Economic Forum is really pushing. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today. Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. He's an economic historian. He co-authored the book JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity. He also authored the book Econoclast. And I wanted to chat with him. He was on it just a few weeks ago, and we're talking about socialism and these policies that the Biden regime is pushing onto the American people. And this socialism idea, it's a bad idea. And I could hear Brian say, I mean, it's like it's a bad idea and it's not going to work. But I'm concerned a lot of people are going to be hurt in the meantime. So I thought I'd get Brian back on the show to talk about the World Economic Forum and this great reset that they are trying to push. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Kim. Good morning. It's great to be here.
I'm so concerned about this World Economic Forum and their predictions for the world, because it doesn't look good for everyday hardworking Americans or everyday people across the world.
When you talk about checking your privilege, I mean, this is what these people are. I mean, these are just kind of overpaid people who don't know what to do with their great resources, their privilege. They sit there and try to plan the world's future instead of going out there and starting a really good business or something like that. I know some of these people are graduates of an entrepreneurial school and all that sort of thing, but it's really kind of sad. I mean, they if you read their Great Reset agenda from just a few years ago, right after President Trump's election in 2016, it's completely different from the one today. They say that Syrian refugees are going to be our great resource in the future. They didn't predict that there would be Venezuelan refugees that would be our great resource in the future. So I don't think these people know what they're talking about.
But it seems, Brian, that the policies that we're seeing, public policy that is being implemented from this World Economic Forum, and when you look at the guest list that goes to Davos for this, it's some of the great leaders of our businesses here in America, like the head of the New York Stock Exchange, the head of NASDAQ, Jamie Dimon. It seems to me that somebody there should say, wait a minute, the American experiment has brought more people out of poverty and improved lives for everyday people, and we're not seeing that. I don't understand.
Yeah, Kim, when I hear the names of those figures, when I hear the president of the NICE, the president of the NASDAQ, the president of J.P. Morgan, I hear about people who were yesterday's news. I hear about people who had the fire and had the vision, what, 10, 20, 30 years ago? And right now are perhaps running a little short on that. So I don't think there's a lot of intellectual firepower in this group. I think these people are at Davos because they've run out of ideas about how to make it in the real world.
But the policies, let's go through this. This is from the World Economic Forum. And the first one says it says all products will become services. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes, writes Danish MP Ida Auken. Shopping is a distant memory in the city of her city by 2030. I'm like, this is crazy talk to me.
Yeah, Kim, that was the other one. They said in 2017, it said that our future will be huge cities. That's another big whiff they made. In 2020, everyone would run away from cities. You know, we'd have a disaggregation of cities. I know that they have a utopian, so-called utopian vision of the abolition of private property, the old Marxist dream. I think they're completely wrong. Actually, their principles are self-contradictory. They said that we'll just have home health care. Right, that health care will become more private property and less this kind of public good. That's actually implicit in their own Great Reset, and they didn't even see it. They said that health care will be done more at home, which means it will be more private property.
But the policies, Brian, I remember when I was on city council, and I was sitting in there was a big meeting, and I think Obama's Department of Transportation secretary was there making a presentation, and they were talking about all of these self-driving cars and that we wouldn't need cars because you'd call a car and it would come and it would arrive there and then it would take you where you wanted to go and then it would take you home. And first of all, in the self-driving cars, I raised my hand and I said, my computer sometimes doesn't work. I'm not sure that I want to totally be relying on a computer when I'm driving down the road at, you know, 70 miles an hour. And you could have heard a pin drop when I mentioned that, Brian.
Yeah. Their goal is the abolition of private property. And so they're kind of nibbling around the edges to see where they can find it. You can detect in their statements what they really dislike, what they hate. And I notice that they want to harmonize all tax and regulatory regimes throughout the world. This is the great dream of the European Union, too. That is to say, there is no tax competition, no regulatory competition. Every government around the world at every level has the same tax and regulatory system. In other words, there would be no jurisdictional competition. You don't move from A to B because that's a better place, a better business environment. That is their dream. And they can forget about that ever happening.
Well, competition, and that brings up, I had a conversation with Dave Walden this last weekend at Liberty Toastmasters, and he said people ask him, what is the solution for the challenges that we're seeing right here in America? And he said a couple of things. He said, on the long term, education. On the short term, state sovereignty. So going back to the fact that we have 50 different states that as long as it adheres to the vision of the Declaration that all men are created equal and these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and are constitutional, then states can do whatever they want. And then that actually creates a robust discussion between all the different states, or a competition, I guess, a robust competition between all of the states. In fact, Patty has on the headline here that the New York Stock Exchange is thinking about leaving New York if they implement this new tax that they're thinking about on each of the trading transactions. And so you can see that tyrants, they want to have a consistent tax and regulatory policy across the spectrum because then they control everything. But as you can see, would that not be amazing if the New York Stock Exchange left New York, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen such things before. I remember in the 1980s when all the corporations were leaving New York for Texas. You know, the mayor, Ed Koch, would say, well, I guess you're just not New York kind of people when J.C. Penney left for Plano. They don't sing that song anymore because everyone's going, all the snowbirds are relocating to Florida. The athletes, even these days, the high-priced athletes don't want to play for New York teams. They want to play for Florida teams because there's no income tax in Florida. I noticed in that Davos thing, the one thing they hate is differential taxes around the world. And that's the one thing they're not going to get. You are so right about tax differentiation among the states in the United States. That is a crucial ingredient to the continued success of the American economy.
Let's talk a little bit more on this, Brian. The next thing is this global price on carbon. And we see out here in Colorado, big business and big government like each other because they can then put in regulation and policy to try to squelch their competition. So the big electricity providers, want to get rid of fossil fuels and want to put people into electric cars because that makes more demand for their particular product. And so they talk about how bad carbon is, global warming. It's when I drove in this morning, Brian, it was 2 degrees. How's that global warming working out? But they're They're using that narrative. John Kerry jetting around, what, he went to Iceland on his private jet to get an award regarding his climate change work. I mean, the hypocrisy is unbelievable to me, but I see policies, particularly here in Colorado, they're trying to shut down our oil and gas industry.
Kim, that was a fascinating little mistake that they made in that Davos platform. There's going to be, they said explicitly, this is their language, you quoted it correctly, there's going to be a global price on carbon. Well, somebody hasn't read Adam Smith and David Ricardo, because the theory of one world price for all commodities in an integrated world economy has been in classical economics for the last 250 years. There already is one world price on carbon, you fools at Davos. That's what happens in a world economy. There's one price, and if it were different, there would be immediate arbitrage, and it would change so that there's one world price all around the world. They didn't mean to say one world price. They meant to say one uniform world tax on top of the price. But they didn't understand the issue enough, and they said there's going to be one world price on carbon. Yeah, well, right now there's one world price on chewing gum and every other commodity that's globally traded. So these people actually do not know what they're doing. I mean, they make fundamental, they make school children errors in this statement.
Brian, let's go to break because, let's see here, this is from American Greatness. Deborah Hine had written that the Biden regime is embracing this great plan, this great reset, and it would destroy capitalism. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit about that. I'm talking with Dr. Brian Dmitrovic. He is an economic historian. He co-authored the book with Larry Kudlow, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, The Secret History of American Prosperity, as well as Econoclast. And before we do that, though, I want to give a shout out to Castlegate Knife and Tool, a family-owned business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Check out castlegate.com. That is their website, castlegate.com. They've got a wide array of knives and tools from the best makers from throughout the world. Again, check out castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Dr. Brian Dmitrovic.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. The conversation I'm having with Dr. Brian Dmitrovic is a really important one, and he is an economic historian. He co-wrote the book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity, as well as Econoclast. And Brian, just I mentioned this earlier in the show. You said that actually when the Dems get into office, that your book sales go up.
Yeah, no, that's funny. I have another one coming out next month on the early career of Arthur Laffer called The Emergence of Arthur Laffer, Origins of Laffer Curve, and so forth. Pretty well, and Arthur Laffer and I are right now writing a history of the American income tax system. Yes, what happens is that when the Democrats come into power, conservatives kind of step back, and Republicans want to have a rethink about kind of first principles. All right, well, we were too concentrated on the moment. What do we really want to believe in forward as ideas? And that's when they really delve deep into things like theoretical books about what it means to be a conservative and a free marketeer. So I'm afraid in those context, that's when people come to see what I have to say.
Well, it's so important what you have to say on this, and I really appreciate you going through this World Economic Forum predictions for the world by 2030 and addressing it's been kind of a big deal. I know, like CNBC, they report from Davos. Somehow they didn't report that this is what was coming out of Davos. But all these leaders jetting in and making, I'm looking at this, these are really terrible things that they want to try to get to. And people need to understand that when everyday Americans do well, just about everybody throughout the world does well, Brian.
Yeah, I don't presume that the people at Davos want everyone in the world to do well. I mean, they're talking about tax harmonization. Well, there could be high taxes on everyone throughout the world with no escape. That's not good for the regular people of the world. They're talking about the abolition of private property. I mean, who gets nailed? Those people with little. This is a fantasy land.
Okay, but the Biden regime seems to be embracing this. He has signed almost 40, I think, executive orders to try to reverse all of the good work that occurred during the Trump administration. And they seem to be embracing it. I know I was looking at gas prices. They're up to at least 10% here in Colorado. And yet when I was driving in, I saw two different light rail trains that did not have one person on them. And I'm thinking, what about the global footprint of that? But that's what they want to do, is take away our mobility. They want to still jet around, but they want us to ride around on bikes and in trains and in buses or walk around. They want to take away our freedom of mobility, Brian.
Yeah, their signature proposal of a carbon tax has at its core the standard contradiction of taxation. And that is, do you want people to use carbon or not? Because you keep saying, governments, that you need revenue sources. You need revenue, you need revenue, you need revenue. Well, if you have a carbon tax, people better be using carbon if you want revenue from that source. Because if they stop using carbon, you're not getting any revenue from that carbon tax. So I would not put it past the government. And this is very clear. They do the same thing with cigarettes. They do not. Philip Morris could not be clearer about this topic. I wrote a column about it a couple of months ago. But state governments in particular, and international governments, make sure they set the tax rate so that it is not high enough to discourage cigarette sales, because these people, these governments, have become addicted to cigarette sales taxation. It's the same thing with carbon. So I am not surprised to see the price of gasoline going up under Biden, because Biden is going to encourage the use of carbon if he is interested in the carbon tax, because the government needs the money from that tax.
Okay. Let's go to number three that they have in their eight predictions, and that is that the U.S. dominance is over and that we'll have a handful of global powers. It'll be U.S., Russia, China, Germany, India, and Japan.
Yeah, they couldn't have named a set of countries that will have a young person's problem more severely than the ones they named in 2030. I mean, are there going to be any young people in Russia in the year 2030? There's no demographic reason to say so. So why that would be a nationalist hegemon 15 years from now, I have no idea. I would say the same thing about Japan, and I would say the same thing about China. These people have a completely upside-down demographic profile, whereas in 2030, everyone's going to be over 60. So what on earth that has to do with the resurgence of nationalism when everyone's elderly, I have no idea. So that was yet another completely incoherent statement from Davos.
Well, this is another one that I am from Western Kansas, a farming, ranching community. I love beef, and they say that we're going to be eating much less meat. You can also see that with a policy when they're talking about all the methane that our dairy cattle and that our beef that's raised for consumption. They talk about how bad all that methane is, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, here is a narrative over here that they're trying to use to get rid of beef. I've always thought, though, Brian, when the dinosaurs were walking around the earth, there was probably some big methane going on from them as well.
Yeah. Well, the dinosaurs still are walking around. They're in Davos every year. These are yesterday's people. My hunch, I'm no dietitian or anything, my hunch is that meat is going to boom. Everyone's realizing that this long cycle of non-meat diets has been just something that's been foisted on us, and that meat's healthy. I think the Democratic population is the the world are realizing that. I think there's going to be a permanent resurgence in the East of Maine.
Okay. And number seven, they said the values that built the West will be tested to the breaking point. But yet it's the West that has the philosophy of the West is what has actually brought more people out of poverty and individual freedom. Look what's happened, this big, fabulous middle class that we have in America, although the COVID-19 policies have been trying to take out small business. And I wonder if that's somewhat connected. But what's your thoughts on that, Brian?
Yeah, you know, if I just saw that, I mean, I teach history. If I just saw, you know, student write, the values of the West will be tested to the breaking point, I would wonder what epoch of history they're talking about. And I would assume, oh, they must be talking about circa 1900, because, you know, in the near future, the values of the West will be tested to the breaking point. That would be a nice observation, the kind of exactly the kind of observation that Fyodor Dostoevsky made at that time, that Friedrich Nietzsche made at that time. The values of the West are about to be tested to the breaking point. Right, that would be the two world wars. These people don't even understand that that has already happened. And they are trying to imagine, because they're ignorant, that the West is going to face a crisis unlike it has faced before. No, that's what the West has been doing for the last 150 years. I didn't even think they're aware of that.
And this is the thing, though, Brian, that I feel some stress about it is, and you know, I have this other show that I've interviewed over 160 probably World War II veterans, and I've been to Normandy and I've seen the graves of these young teenagers and guys in their early 20s that put their lives on the line to fight tyranny. And I think that's the thing that I'm really concerned about is that people get hurt when you put in these bad policies. And I really would hope to avoid testing this again, Brian.
You know, that I can't offer any guarantees about, I'm afraid, Kim. No, you're right. I mean, I don't mean to belittle this to the point of saying that it's not significant. I mean, these people do have serious power. We're very lucky that we've had a peacetime engine of economic prosperity here in the American economy. There's been such a beacon in the world that so many countries, South Korea on, Taiwan, have imitated and have become bulwarks of peace. I am concerned about that. But the natural tendency of the free market economy is to get people really excited about it, and they see things like warfare and major disruptions as very regrettable departures from a great status quo.
I think the last time we talked, you had mentioned about the producers, or maybe it's something that I'd read, but Americans want to produce. I was talking with a restaurant owner yesterday, so frustrated with these policies here in Colorado that are preventing people from going out and producing and working for their livelihoods. And I feel like there's been an assault on the producers. And what's going to happen with that, Brian?
Yeah, government likes cronies. Government likes producers who are close to government, you know, lobbyists and so forth. And so the small independent producer, by definition, will not have a friend in government because the small independent producer can't lobby government.
Right.
So that's when you need political virtue. That's when the occupants of government offices have to be virtuous and to resist the siren call of lobbyists and cronyism. And that's what the founding fathers talked about. So, and they said, look, unless you have political virtue and office holders, the Democratic experiment, the Republican experiment is not going to work. So we need a renewal of political virtue.
Oh, my gosh, that's for sure. Brian, we've got about a couple of minutes left. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning? And I will mention that the last thing it says, by the 2030s, we'll be ready to move humans towards the red planet. I can think of some politicians and bureaucrats that I'd like to put on that first
yeah.
trip.
Yeah, okay. I can think of some of them who are Martians already. That's nice, Davos, guys. You're taking credit for moving to Mars. I'm quite confident that it's the private sector, from Jeff Bezos on, who's in, Elon Musk, that are going to be taking the lead in space exploration. In fact, it's very interesting what Bezos, Musk, and Richard Branson and all the rest have done. They just said, look, government can't get this done in space, and so we're going to make a ton of money. Bezos is very clear. He made a ton of money in Amazon so that he could follow his real passion, which is space exploration. And one of the reasons he was motivated by that as early as the 1980s was with, like, oh, government can't get it done in space anymore, therefore I'm going to get it done. If something happens in space, it'll be the private sector.
Wow. And your final thought. We have a minute.
I like to read the Davos statements every time they come out, every few years, because they contradict each other. I think they're a paper tiger.
Okay. Well, I was very concerned about it. I appreciate you going through this with me. And to your point, we need to make sure that we have virtuous people that we elect and put them into office, because that's the way this American experiment continues on. And the values of the West have improved the lives of everyday people, these individuals that the founders thought each one is created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Dr. Brian Dmytrovic, it is always a great show when you're on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, and our quote for today, C.S. Lewis. He said, "The greatest evils in the world will not be carried out by men with guns, but by men in suits sitting behind desks." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.